So it's recording.
I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, I think. Okay. All right. Okay. So this is a the first official Buildwood internal podcast of the year 2024.
Hey, we made it. It's 2024.
I was waiting for my coffee this morning and I was sitting there thinking, wow, it's been 5 years in business. And then I sit there and like a six-year-old or a five-year-old, I count out the years on my fingers and I'm like, wait a minute. It's been almost six years in business, which is pretty wild. That's exciting.
I quit counting how many years I've served the dirt world, but I will say this. It's wild when you're starting the year out January 2024 and you're talking with strategic partners and clients and guests about 2025 already. So you know that we're starting to make it when we're doing long-term planning.
Well, that's assuming there's going to be a year 2025, but...
Brother, we are going to rise and grind and we are going to make it to 2025.
No, I mean, it's an election year. The world could end this year and there might not be a 2025.
I've dealt with some of that in the dirt world too already this year. It's been interesting.
Yeah. No, it's really exciting. It's amazing to see where we are and to see how the year's already been. We're like 3.5 weeks into the year, I guess kind of 3 full weeks into the year. And so we've already seen some wins, but there's still a lot more to do, it sounds like.
Yeah, for sure. The lots of optimism, cautiously optimistic about where we're at and where we're going. But the thing I'm most excited about, and you talked about it a little bit on one of the BuildWit updates, is just the teamwork, the collaboration, the camaraderie, the BuildWit spirit feels like it's back and we're trending in a really good direction. So yeah, really excited for this year. Don't want to count the chickens before they're hatched, but man, we got a lot of chickens.
But yeah, and some are hatching already. There are chickens hatching.
Yes.
I first wanted to bring up, I made a critical error last night when we were on the phone. It was you, me, Dan, Jessica, I believe. And we were talking about paid ads and where we go with that and what the priority is with paid ads. And I didn't mean it like this, but I said it like this, which I think is still a critical error that I want to come clean about. I said it was about making money. And you quickly said, well, it's about solving the customer's problems. And that is obviously what I meant. And that's how I've always viewed business, is just solving the problems of the dirt world. But I didn't say that. You said it. And I'm glad you said it. Mm. And after our phone call, I thought, I need to be careful with that because it's not about money. It's not about revenue. It's about solving problems. And if we can use paid ads to help get people in the door and help them recruit more effectively to build jobs and create real value in the world, we get paid as a result. So I wanted to start this by coming clean on that. I was thinking about that last night.
Yeah, that's super good. I appreciate you coming clean. And, you know, just in full transparency, you know, I have lots of conversations internally and I learn from our team members. And it's something that the BuildWit team is constantly talking about, is how do we best serve the customer? And when they're making decisions, they're thinking about what is in the best interest of the customer. And then ultimately, how do we serve, you know, from a BuildWit standpoint? So, you know, whether it's Chase or anybody that's out there, I think top of mind, naturally, the spirit of BuildWit is they truly want to help people win. And, you know, so I've really picked up on that. I appreciate you clarifying from last night's call to today, but it truly is part of the spirit of BuildWit.
Well, and is why everything works is, again, because we're solving real problems. And
yeah,
the whole workforce thing, it's a real problem and yeah, a real challenge. And, we have a lot of great solutions to that challenge in all different ways. And it's not one size fits all. It's not one solution to solve all of the problems and go on down the road as we have been for decades as an industry. It takes a little bit of everything. And That's why we have a multi-million dollar event for over 1,000 people and a software and a creative business, which at face value, people ask me like, how'd you end up with all that stuff? Where'd you think that up? And the answer is, well, we didn't think it up originally. We just started talking to people and asking them what their problems were and addressing their problems with different businesses that all actually somewhat work together.
Absolutely. And one of the things that you say all the time is 1-2-6.
Yeah.
And it's literally what's happened at BuildWit. So I didn't understand it when I first started. I thought, what's this crazy guy saying 1-2-6? And now that I've been here for a couple of years, it makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah. I don't even know where I got it. It's just a dumb phrase and doesn't really make sense, but it does make sense. Like you said, you know, we're skipping a few steps here.
If you're new to BuildWit, just give it time. It'll make sense in a few years.
Yeah. Yeah. But I feel this year, I don't know, like a sense of calm that I haven't felt in a while, because while, yeah, we have our crazy ideas and we are pushing and we are doing new things, everything, especially from last year, has settled out a little bit. Like, we have our feet beneath us when it comes to training and software and taking care of a different kind of customer. Really solid, robust, creative team delivering at a very high level consistently. You know, we hosted our first event. So now we're not going into, you know, last year I was nervous about the Dirt World Summit all year, because until it happens, until you execute upon it, you don't know if it's going to work or not. And not that past performance is indicative of future performance, but at least we have the confidence now. Oh, wow. Actually, we do have a great team that can execute a great event, arguably one of the greatest events in this industry. And I just feel a little bit more centered this year, and it's a good feeling. I feel it's helping me to just calm down and focus more than I have in a long time.
The word that comes to mind for me is alignment. I think now more than ever, we understand our core competencies as a business and how we do serve our customers well, and we can position the right team for the right problem. And from an alignment standpoint, leadership, senior leadership, the teams, you know, we're not going in different directions and we're not operating in silos. We are one BuildWit. We understand the North Star. We have budgets. We have plans. We know the direction that we're going and that we're aligned. And so when you're aligned and running in the same direction, it's a lot more fun to work and solve those problems. And it allows you to use the word focus. One of the words that I've been thinking a lot about this year is execute. And you're exactly right. It's when you're aligned, you've got the goals, the objectives, and you can show up every day and execute and win the day for the greater good of the customer and the dirt world. It feels really good. So I feel great so far.
Yeah. Nikki sent out that team survey to get some feedback. And is that, I honestly, I haven't looked at it because I don't submit feedback. But is it, how is it structured? Is it one of them where people can submit responses, or is it just 1, 2, 3?
No, there's an option, but then you can fill in the blank. I have no idea how many people are going to fill in the blank, but right now we have 53% have responded. We're going for 100%. We're going to send reminders every day. But I hope that we get some context in addition to the number system, the ranking.
So the responses to this are, it's always getting these responses emotionally taxing, because I have a lot emotionally wrapped up in this organization and team and everything we're doing. I've gotten better though at reading these responses objectively, and typically they're very constructive, and I love the feedback. And one of the the big pieces of feedback on the last one we did, and it was a while back. I feel like it was like middle of last year, was that there's a lot of, and I don't know if this was the word used ever, but middle management and just barriers to getting stuff done. And looking back on where we were a year ago, a year and a half ago, that's totally true. There was too much complexity. And I think at least you, me, Dan, Randy, Kara, we all really take that feedback and try to put it into action. And I feel like that was one of those things that I was really focused on, and we've been focused on, especially for the past 6 months, even more so 3 months, is let's break down the silos. Let's get rid of anything that is not contributing and creating in all different ways. It's not just people, it's processes, it's team structure, it's all these things that needed to be, all these complexities that somehow got involved that needed to be removed for us to execute, like you said, and to be as effective as possible. And I think that's part of why I feel lighter going into this year too, is that there isn't nearly as much of that right now. And I think while we haven't done a great job in some categories, I think we've done a really good job in that regard, in breaking down those barriers, in ridding of these silos. And they're not all gone yet, but I have seen more, and maybe even the past 3 weeks, more teamwork and collaboration and productivity than I've seen in a long time. And it is so cool. It is so cool to see everybody working together, even little stuff like Chell's at a training shoot right now. That's cool. That's cool. Or there's a million different examples, but big examples, small examples. It's really exciting to me because it's like, all right, we can take feedback and we can make changes to ideally make things better. And I think we're in a great place right now, which is to me very, very exciting.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree anymore. I think job description roles and responsibilities are great, but we're also figuring out how do we best serve? How can we support each other? People are wearing multiple roles, but it's really just, you know, they get up, they figure out, okay, here's my core, but then how else can I help? Here's my core, how can I help? And I think that's, you know, a really good place to be in as a growing business, especially this year. Example, you're leading influence and out there telling stories and doing these things, but you're helping sell summit tickets. Super grateful for that. Randy is helping with CFO and budgeting, but he's also CPO and he's also helping with strategy and with fine. I mean, just so, but he's also jumping on sales training calls. Him and Jack are, you know, really doing some really cool stuff. Dan's leading the business, but he's helping with partnerships and getting the summit going. And I'm helping sell sponsorships, and like, it's just like this fun collaborative piece. But then, you know, even within the divisions, I'm giving recommendations to Jennifer about, hey, here's somebody new that we met. They've got training content. Tim Schur at Novak Leadership, super excited. So now they're partnering. It's just fun to see how we can kind of help, you know, each other, succeed for the greater good of each division and department, and ultimately, you know, start to accomplish our mission.
Speaking of Tim Schur, I just had him on the podcast like 2 hours ago.
He called me.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Good.
He was top of mind. He said it was incredible. He said he really had a great time. He said the craziest thing happened. He was like, so I've been on a lot of podcasts, and usually there's like a warm up and some soft talk, and then like there's a, all right, here we go, we're ready. And he's like, I realized 10 minutes into the conversation that we had started. Yeah. I was like, Yeah,
that's a skill I've learned, and I don't know if it fits every format. Like, I think theirs is a lot more buttoned up, but what I told him was, you know, 90%+ of people I have on the podcast have never been on a podcast before, and they don't really want to be on a podcast. They're kind of reluctant. They know they ought to do it, and they're excited for the product at the end of the day, and for the opportunity to tell a story, but they don't really want to do it. So the quicker I can make them forget, is better for everybody. But if I were to like warm them up And then, okay, we're going to do an intro. And then now I'm back to zero. Now I have to warm them back up again over 10, 15 minutes while we're recording, which makes for worse content. And so it's easier to just roll right into it. We were talking about ice cream and kids, and then you just, it's like having lunch, it's like having coffee. It's a normal human conversation, exactly how a conversation works outside of podcasting and microphones.
Yeah. I would say that that is one thing I like better about being in person for a podcast, is because you put the headphones on, you kind of sink into the oasis, you just start a conversation. I kind of forget about what else is going on in the world. But, you know, with Riverside, how we're doing this remote podcast, it works and we're making it work. But the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 countdown, it's like, here we go.
That's what I told him too. And I know we're off on a tangent right now, but I told him, you know, I'm very comfortable podcasting. But even when I'm on someone else's podcast and they're like, okay, you know, and they do the intro, I'm still like I kind of tense up, like, oh, I'm on a podcast right now. This is, I better get on it. And it just, for whatever reason, triggers something just unnatural and makes it, and then you kind of have to get back into the mindset of, hey, just do your thing, just talk. It's like having a conversation any other place.
Yeah,
but,
totally.
Yeah, no, it seems like a great guy. It seems like the whole David Novak thing and is a big deal. And I'm telling you, one of the coolest benefits to the summit, and probably maybe the biggest benefit to the summit, other than establishing us as the middle ground for the industry and the revenue and cash flow that we can use, which is a huge help because we have the money now. We don't have the expenses until November. Big piece. Other than the practical pieces of it, it's got so many great people and companies and organizations involved with us that would have never been involved with us otherwise. I mean, you can go down the list. First Form, Echelon Front, Bob Chapman, Dale Carnegie, all these people, we've built this stage. Again, we're the stagehands, not the stars. We've built this stage for all of these amazing organizations. And we say, come on down, because your message is great. And your message is one that this industry needs to hear. And this has been a siloed industry. And so they've all been just having the same conversations. We need some of these outside ideas to come on in here and start to penetrate this room and this audience. And it's amazing. Like I even told him this morning, you know, like Dirt Talk, I'm pretty protective of it. You know, I get a little frustrated when it's like, you know,
oh yeah,
you need to have this or that person on. I'm like, no, I don't need to. I just want to shoot the poop with whoever I want to shoot the poop with. But I think that's one of the best things that happened last year was us committing to all these podcasts because
totally.
While I was a little frustrated with it at first, I had these conversations I would have never had or never thought to have. And it's been fantastic.
Yeah. No, I could not agree anymore. You know, a side benefit for me is just the pursuit of sponsorships and people attending the summit. I am very blessed to be able to talk to a ton of people that I probably would have never talked to, but I can send a message, I can create a connection, I can jump on a call, I can learn about their business. We can kind of position kind of the who, what, why of what we're doing. And then they want to be a part of this ecosystem.
You know, it's just so funny that I didn't really pick it, it kind of picked me, but we picked, quote unquote, such a universal world. It's like, what if we were focused on like horses, like race horses, you know, like we could go tell the story of horse racing and really cater to horse companies. And, you know, it's cool, but it's a niche. It doesn't really apply to Jocko and Echelon Front and, you know, my mom and, you know, David Novak. You can't go down the list and really make it apply to everybody, but it's like, you know, sewer, toilets, trash, power, water, roads. That is the most universal fundamental thing out there. Totally. Nothing else happens. And it is so surreal that we have something so important and so just critical to society in our hands. We're almost entrusted with this, I think, amazing mission and purpose that, and that's part of the reason why I work so hard is because I don't want to waste, you know, we're entrusted with this for whatever reason, and I don't want to waste this opportunity, and we can't waste this opportunity. We have to make something of it.
Totally.
But yeah, it's just so funny that you can go to really anybody and within 5 minutes, make them think pretty deeply, like, you know, you're right. I couldn't do anything without this world. And I've never even thought about it.
Yeah, let's be humble, but let's also remember that our words have weight. So whether it's you or whether it's me or whether it's whoever that's speaking, like, we're starting to gather a lot of attention and we're leveraging that attention to build our business, which is great. But we also have a responsibility, you know, with that attention.
Yes, but it's a double-edged sword because, and this is why I get, and again, I don't know if my protectiveness is always a good thing, but this is why I get a little protective is because, you know, I've built the community I have a certain way, and I don't want to lose that community. Mm-hmm. And I have pissed off a lot of executives, a lot of gatekeepers, a lot of the old school people in this industry because of the things I've said or done or whatever it is. But, and while I'm not here trying to poke them with a stick because I think that's dumb, they're not really the audience I'm catering to. The audience I'm catering to is that next generation, which only in theory increases our value over time because that's the group of people, that's the generation everybody needs to succeed. And so it's funny because I see all these numbers, but I don't really let them register. Because if they did register, I think I would start to act differently or self-censor or whatever it is. And I don't want to do that. Like just before this, you say it's important, you know, we have a lot of important people following and we do have a lot of very important people following. But, you know, I was just joking about spreading nails out in the parking lot. So our people overcome adversity, you know, to teach them how to overcome adversity. and I say it, you know, dead serious, because that's my style. It's just a lot of people don't get it. And so a lot of people, you know, think, wow, this guy's a prick. Like, so, but that resonates with the people out in the field building stuff. They're like, yeah, no, this is. And then I have a bunch of messages like, this is a great idea. I'm going to go do this tomorrow to teach my people how to overcome adversity. And they're joking too. And so it's a balance. It's like, how do I be a good steward of what's been given to me? And in some ways, that's preaching a good message. That's being a great example. But in other ways, that's still like remaining true to who I am as an individual, to who BuildWit is as a business. I mean, even like yesterday, we were talking about, hey, we need to be careful with what work we're taking on sometimes because, mm-hmm. you know, we're talking revenue. And yeah, it's important, but we don't also want to be taking on these terrible projects for the sake of revenue that are a huge headache for the team and are frustrating, that are not really creating any impact in the industry, furthering our mission, that are, you know, not projects that our skill set fits, which is fine.
I think funny. That's super powerful. I mean, I think this year, you know, we've got to know what to say yes to and what to say no to. And let's keep delivering on what we have. And if there's a new opportunity that scales and complements and is aligned with the mission, then maybe we chase it. Like the community, great. Or if there's things that, you know, don't necessarily scale, going to require a lot of resources, going to be a taxing to the business, we've got to know what to say no to. And sometimes that could be a project. Sometimes that could be a new business. Sometimes that could be, you know, an individual or whatever that may be. And so we just have to make really good choices. And I think saying no is something that, you know, we're going to have to work on this year because we've been trying to figure it out. We've been saying yes to a lot of things. And and I'm grateful that we have said yes to a lot of things because I feel like we're really close now on knowing exactly what we're delivering for the industry and how we're going to leverage that and scale it. But we're going to have to be really careful with projects and new business.
Yes. Yeah. And it's just, it's a balance. Like you said, you know, hey, for the past few years, it's been, we need to get revenue in the door. We need to make sure we're profitable, you know, and we've been pushing heavy on that. But at the same time, we don't want that to drown out what's helped get us here and what's going to get us further. Money's a piece of it. It's an important piece, but it's only a piece. And if that becomes the only piece, the one single piece, there's a huge, huge problem. A large reason why I started this business was Andy's podcast back in the day, the MFCEO Project. And it was, I started listening in 2015. So it's almost, he's almost been doing it for a decade.
Wow.
I remember 2015 because I was on the railroad and that was just a miserable fucking summer. Just fucking miserable. Just horrible. And you would have a lot of seat time because you, or windshield time because you were driving to the middle of nowhere and you're just miserable and you're trying to keep your mind occupied. So I'd listen to this podcast and talk about branding, storytelling, telling that story, marketing, branding, personal brand, social media. And I need to share on social media and I've learned a lot about business and how he's built the culture at First Form through his podcast and everything he's done for free. And then an opportunity came up a few years ago and it was an investment, but I knew and I wanted to go see First Form firsthand because I knew that the speaking and that kind of stuff, yeah, I'm gonna glean a lot of value from that. But what I really wanted, the only valuable piece to that was going to First Form and touring the place and seeing it all for myself and meeting the people and listening to Andy. He was the tour guide. You know, this guy toured me around his building. And it's amazing. It's amazing. And then fast forward a year later, I'm working out with Sal, who's the CEO of First Form now, his brother, at their gym, which was just a cool life experience. But fast forward now, it's even cooler because we're hosting a workshop, a whole event at their office. They're not an events company. They're not just saying, come on down. You know, any company that wants to hang out here, it's an office. It's a big deal. And so to have them disengaged, and then even, you know, Dan was like, Sal said he's going to speak. And I said, damn, like Sal at the summit, that's legit, dude. That is like this guy, people don't really know who he is, but he's probably one of the best speakers out there in the United States, period. And then I go to the workshop series and I see Sal on the agenda and oh, that makes sense. Like, of course he's going to speak at the, so that's still pretty cool that he's speaking at the workshop, not the summit. Yeah, I get that. And then I'm looking at the summit agenda and Sal's on the summit agenda. I'm like, you got him for both? And he's like, yeah, man, First Form's in. I'm like, wow, that's so, so cool. So yeah. Cool.
Yeah. I'm totally stoked. And, you know, I got to know Sierra and Austin last year at the summit. You know, they came and exhibited, got to know them, you know, start thinking about my personal health and joined the First Form app. And so I've been working, you know, in that app and working on my health and started 75 Hard January 1 and just really enjoying, you know, their nutrition and their coaching and their support that they have in there. It's just really cool to see like this abundance mindset that they have and really just embracing the dirt world and thinking about, you know, health and nutrition. I said it the other day in my post, but you know, these are dirt world athletes. Whether you're in the field or in the office, it's up early, it's work hard all day. It you know, it's taxing physically, it's taxing mentally. Like the dirt world is not easy. And if you're not taking care of yourself, then you know, you're just not gonna last long. And you know, I've been in the industry for a long time and I've seen so many people that all they're working for is for retirement. Mm-hmm. And then they get to retirement and they're so broke down that they can't really enjoy retirement. And so it's like, hey, if we're going to really talk to this next generation, let's talk about holistic health. Let's talk about nutrition. Let's talk about taking care of themselves. Let's talk about taking care of their mind, body, spirit, and so that they can enjoy not only a great life, but a great retirement.
Yeah. And I, you know, a lot of people talk about the bodily degradation in the industry. And I think it's more so from the lifestyle than the work itself. I think I think you can rake asphalt for a career if you wanted to, if you're healthy, if you're taking care of yourself, if you're ready to go. I don't think raking asphalt ruins your body. I just, the more I've learned, the more I've seen, and the more I've seen like really, really, really amazing athletes in their 50s and 60s, I'm like, all right, so it's possible to be perfectly healthy. And it's not just, totally. I think it's really lifestyle. I think it's the eating at gas stations and that kind of thing.
That's right. And when you think about like what First Form stands for, it's sleeping well, eating well, it's 24/7. It is a lifestyle. I love that word. And so just making sure that I'm clear, it's like, yeah, it's not, hey, go, you know, just pump iron, but it's just like taking care of your body holistically. And I'm reading the book, Endure by Cam Haynes right now. And, you know, you talk about a 50-year-old that's like in super fit, you know, prime, you know, up the mountains, down the mountains, doing his thing, but it's just, he's grinding every single day, 7 days a week.
Yeah. 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 All right. Well, I think this has been a great little internal conversation.
Yeah. That was really good.
All right. Well, thank you again for being my co-host on the internal podcast.
I've made it one more. We'll see if I make the cut next time.
Yeah, it's like the NFL, you know, you don't perform and at any time you can get kicked to the curb. But I enjoyed this. Hopefully it's insightful for our people. If anybody listening to this has feedback for me or Jason, we're all ears, let me tell you. So send it directly to Jason, send it directly to me. If you don't want to send it to us, send it to Harrison. We'd love to hear from you, and we will see you on the next internal episode.